Hey, it's Abby Garvey with Simplify 101, and I'd like to welcome you to Lesson 4 of Organize Your Paper Clutter. So, how are you doing with all that paper of yours? I hope that you're doing great and that at this point in the process, you have your collection and action system set up, or that you're in the process of doing so. Now, lesson 3 was pretty intense, wasn't it? You had a lot of reading to do, plus you had collection and action systems to set up. Now, if you still have items on your to-do list that are left over from that lesson, that's perfectly fine. Don't worry about that at all. The bottom line is this. If you're starting to see fewer piles in your midst and you're beginning to feel a greater sense of control in terms of your paper, you're on your way. So take a moment and reflect on that, pat yourself on the back, and really acknowledge that you're on your way. So what's next? Next up is reference paper. Now your main goal for this lesson is to set up permanent homes for your reference paper. As with your action paper, you may need more than one storage solution or organizing system to accommodate all of your reference items. During this lesson, we're going to talk about 4 specific types of reference paper: quick reference items, receipts, recipes, and magazine clippings. Now, keep in mind that you may have more types of reference items than the ones we'll cover in this lesson, but the steps you will follow for any other specific reference items that you have will be just the same as those covered for quick reference, receipts, recipes, and magazine clippings. So if you need to create other reference systems, just take the same steps and use the same thought process as we use for these. Sound like a plan? All right, let's get right to it. Set up your reference systems. Reminder, what your reference systems are for. So it's been a while since we discussed the specifics of reference paper and what it is, so let's do a quick refresher. Your reference paper is any item you may want or need to refer to at a later date. This type of paper does not require your action right now, but it's likely you will want to refer to it sometime in the foreseeable future. Reference paper versus action paper. So, what's the difference between reference paper and action paper? Well, in a nutshell, action paper has a to-do associated with it, whereas reference paper doesn't, at least not right at this moment. It's quite common for a piece of paper that was once an action item to become a reference item after the action has been taken care of. Paid bill statements are a terrific example. Before payment was made, the bill itself had an action associated with it. Once you've paid the bill, assuming you've completed any financial tracking that you want to do, you hold on to the bill in case you want or need to refer to it in the future. For budgeting, applying for a loan, a payment question, and things like this. So the paid bill has become reference. With your reference item, an external event will dictate if and when you need to refer to that piece of paper. Examples of reference paper include telephone directories, your plumber's phone number, sports schedules after the dates have been entered on the calendar, papers for a current home decorating project, and carryout menus. Now, as we discussed in Lesson 2, for each of these examples, something external to the piece of paper will trigger your need to refer to the paper. The paper itself, which has been put away, does not serve as a reminder to do something. So here's some everyday examples of reference paper. Your son wants to know which team he is playing this week in baseball, so you need to refer to the sports schedule. In this case, it was your son's question that triggers you to want to look at the schedule. You've decided to paint your hallway this weekend, so you need to pull out the paint swatches in order to buy your paint. Your desire to paint has caused you to seek your paint swatches, so that's that external trigger that I'm talking about. Here's another example. You're hungry and you feel like ordering pizza. Again, it's the hunger that is the trigger, not the carryout menu sitting on your counter. All right, so now that we remember the difference between action paper and reference, let's talk about the difference between reference and archive. So you may recall from Lesson 2, and you may have seen firsthand during your sorting, that the line between reference and archive can be very fine. Again, let's not get overly concerned about that because the bottom line is this. The reason for categorizing your paper as action, reference, and archive is to help you decide what you need to do with each piece of paper. These categories also help you determine how accessible each type of paper needs to be. Action paper needs to be the most easily accessible. Archive paper can be the least easily accessible. And reference paper falls right in the middle. Organizing paper is analogous to organizing physical items. You give your prime real estate to the items you access frequently. The dishes you use every single day are stored in an easily accessible cabinet in your kitchen, whereas your china is stored in the china cabinet in the dining room. And paper is just the same way. You give prime real estate to the action items that you need to access on a regular basis, and you give less prime real estate to things like archive that you access less frequently. All right, so now that we remember what your reference paper is all about, let's get busy creating some systems to store it. Step one, decide how many reference systems you need. Now that you've set up your collection and action systems, you're getting to be a pro at this process, right? Now we'll be following the exact same process for your reference systems. As you recall, the first step is to determine which reference paper needs a home. To do this, take a look at that reference paper you've been collecting in your temporary sorting bin, and also pull out your good friend, Paper Paper Everywhere, from Lesson 2. What reference paper do you need to create a home for? Once you have a feel for this, keep in mind that it's okay to mix reference and action paper in the same storage system. The key is that you understand the difference between these types of paper, not that they can't mix and mingle in the same storage container. So for example, if your receipts need a home, there's absolutely no reason why you can't make a folder and put it in the same basket as your Tickler file to hold those receipts. So the important thing is to have a clear-cut boundary for what belongs where. You don't want to keep your receipts sometimes in one file folder and other times in a shoebox in the laundry room, because then you don't really know where your receipts are. They're in a bunch of different places. But it's okay if your already reconciled receipts that are reference items live in the same basket as bills to be paid, which are action items. Now, here are some examples of possible reference systems, and these are the ones that we're going to discuss during the rest of this lesson. Quick reference file or binder, recipe binder, receipts file, and ideas and inspiration binders for magazine clippings. Everyday example, my reference systems. So my reference systems include a reference basket and a binder, recipe binders, binders, not just one, a receipts box, and several binders of magazine clippings. Okay, it's time to pause and take action. Using your Paper Paper Everywhere chart and your unsorted paper, decide which reference systems you need to set up. Once you've decided which reference systems you need to create, walk through the remaining steps of the setup process for each system you'll be creating. First, select your storage solution. Second, develop your organizing scheme. And third, identify the habits needed to use the system effectively. Let's walk through these steps now. Set up a quick reference file or binder. So back in step one, you probably discovered you have certain papers that you'd like to refer to rather frequently. And when you do need them, you don't want it to be a major project to get your hands on them. Trekking to a file cabinet or another floor in your home isn't quite what you have in mind for this type of paper. A quick reference file or binder is just for this type of reference information, things you will access frequently and or want to access easily. So items like carryout menus, phone directories, sports schedules, and the school lunch menu all fall into this category. Once you have an idea about the types of items to store in the system, the next step is selecting your storage solution or solutions. Step 2, select your storage solutions. So thinking back to the storage selection criteria in Lesson 3, you'll remember the characteristics to consider are location, open versus closed, portable versus stationary, horizontal versus vertical, capacity, adaptability, attached versus loose, and aesthetics. Now keep in mind that for your reference paper, an external trigger will tell you that you need to access your papers. Your job then is to select storage that makes it easy to access the paper when that external trigger kicks in. So for quick reference items that you'll access frequently or in a hurry, the most important characteristics are location. You want to store these items in a place where you can easily get your hands on them. For example, my quick reference binder is on my kitchen counter. Aesthetics is another important characteristic. Because you're going to keep this visible and accessible, it's important that it's visually pleasing to you. So based on this, let's consider binders and a file basket or box with file folders for your reference systems. So a reference binder, this is a closed solution, but since this binder can be stored out in the open, such as on your countertop, binders provide easy access to the papers inside. Since binders keep your papers attached, they're a portable solution, which can also be helpful. Binders have a fixed capacity, but they're easily adaptable. You can add or subtract categories and rearrange things very easily using a binder. Now, a file box and file folders is a bit more open, and therefore it makes it a notch simpler to store and retrieve your papers. But because papers are stored loose, a file box is a bit less portable than a binder, and it's also a bit trickier to flip through and find what you're looking for in a file folder than it is in a binder. So these are just some pros and cons to weigh as you go and set up your system. So my recommended solution is a binder for quick reference items because it creates easy access and portable storage for your reference items. Best yet, your papers are tucked away and tidy, giving your eyes and flat surfaces relief from clutter. Everyday example. So I use both a quick reference binder and two reference file folders for my household quick reference paper. The binder houses items that are a notch more permanent than the items in the file folders, such as carryout menus and phone directories. The reference folders, one per child, house items like spelling lists and school assignments. Items where punching holes or sliding the paper into a sheet protector is a bit more work than necessary, given how long we'll be holding onto the paper, which will not be very long. So now it's time to take action. Select your storage solution for your quick reference documents. Two solutions have been discussed here, but any storage container is fair game. If you'd like to use a file cabinet and that allows you to keep your reference items accessible enough for you, go for it, by all means. If you'd like to explore storage solutions other than a binder or file box or basket or file cabinet, pull out Lesson 3 and follow through the thought process for selecting a storage solution. Once you have your storage solution selected, it's time to create categories. Step 3, develop your organizing scheme. So following are potential categories that you can use for your quick reference items. The bottom line as always is to use categories and terminology that make sense to you and best reflect your life and your paper. Here are some ideas. Activities. Use this category for papers and schedules for kids' activities, church, clubs, volunteering, as well as the brochure for the zoo, summer program flyers, camp information, and the bike trail map. All those types of items that represent activities would work really well under an activity category. Budget and finances. Now, you may choose to store budget information, a list of bills to pay, PIN numbers for accessing online accounts, and account numbers in your quick reference system as well. You could also keep a running list of charitable contributions and store receipts from your donations in the same spot. That way you'll know right where it is come tax time. Childcare. You could use this category to organize babysitter instructions, your daycare's policy manual, or even carpool schedules. Emergency information. Consider carving out a spot for emergency information, such as your contact information, street address, directions to your home, cell phone numbers, first aid instructions, and traditional emergency numbers such as police, fire, ambulance, poison control, doctors, repairmen, pharmacy, dentist, veterinarian, pet hospital, and all of those kinds of things. If you have it all in one centralized location, when there is an emergency, you'll have easy access to this important information. Entertainment and leisure. Create a list of books you'd like to read, websites to check out, movies to rent, parks and recreation schedules, and community college course catalogs, and keep those in your quick reference binder. Family members. Consider making a category for each member of your family. Use it to store papers relevant to their activities, school, or work in one centralized place. Home management. Use this category for house sitter instructions, cleaning schedules, or maintenance schedules for your fireplace, air conditioner, air ducts, furnace, AC and heating unit, septic tank, and so on. Important numbers. Create a category for contact information such as your daycare provider, schools, babysitters, neighbors, hairstylist, doctors, dentists, and carryout restaurants. Here's a tip too. You can use business card holders to organize business cards in your reference binder. And that works really great for all of those cards that you collect along the way and aren't really sure where to put them. Insurance and medical coverage. When faced with a medical emergency, you need to know right away which hospitals or clinics are covered by your plan and whether you need to call your doctor for pre-approval. Keep this information at your fingertips and your quick reference system and save precious time when it counts the most. Medical records and personal records. Do you always forget your husband's social security number when you need it? Why not create a section for your family's vital stats? Include vaccination records and recommended dates for health screenings and checkups. Menus. Keep carryout menus handy in their own dedicated section of your quick reference system, or group them into a category called local businesses. Containing information about businesses you patronize or want to try based on referrals from friends and colleagues is another great idea. Pet information. Use this category for vaccination records or to store pet sitter instructions. Places to visit or travel. Do you go on an annual trip or always wonder how to entertain out-of-town guests? Why not stash brochures and flyers in your quick reference system? Then you'll always know where this information is. You could also create a travel checklist and keep this in your binder as well. School information. Store school handouts you reference regularly in a section of your binder. Include menus, calendars, school phone numbers, teacher contact information, snow schedules, bus routes, and information about after-school programs. Use these categories as a jumping-off point, but use your paper as your guide in setting up your specific categories. Which paper do you want to have quick and easy access to? That's really the bottom line. What terminology would you use when looking for that information? Keep your categories flexible so they'll work as your needs change. For example, instead of daycare information, make a category called kid stuff or a section for each child. When your child no longer attends daycare but goes to school instead, you won't need to change your categories, making things just a notch simpler going forward. Now, again, if you aren't sure which categories will work best for you and your family's information, create categories as you go using the process from Lesson 3. Give your system a test drive for a few weeks and see how it works for you. Then tweak the categories if needed. Once you've got categories that work, create permanent labels. Okay, take action. Develop your organizing scheme for your quick reference system and set it up. Use temporary categories if you need to live with your system for a bit before committing. Just move forward and evaluate after you've used your system for a while. And here's a couple of notes. If you're setting up a quick reference binder, in addition to a three-ring binder, you'll want to have on hand additional supplies, such as binder tabs, sheet protectors, a three-hole punch, paper pockets, business card holders, and a label maker for labeling your tabs. Step 4, identify the habits needed to use the system effectively. Now, the best strategy for your quick reference system is to maintain as you go. Purge items when a new version becomes available or as soon as you notice a piece of paper is outdated. You'll be in and out of your reference system regularly, so keep your eyes open for outdated items and recycle a document as soon as it becomes outdated. Everyday example. Here's a peek inside my quick reference binder. Now, I use a Command Central binder from Simplify 101 for my quick reference system. Inside the binder, I store reference items only, not action items, because for me, a binder feels a little bit too put away for action items, but that's just me. It could work great for you. Now, all of the paper stored in my binder is truly referenced because an external trigger will cause me to access the paper inside the binder. For example, I keep the school lunch menus on the very front page of the binder. This is a piece of paper we refer to more than anything else in the binder, so the front is the very best location for this. Now, in the morning, the kids will ask me what school is serving for lunch and before deciding if they want to buy or take lunch that day. So the kids asking me what's for lunch is my external trigger. Now, here's some other examples of what's stored inside my Command Central binder and the trigger that would cause me to access the item. Phone numbers. This one's pretty basic. Kids want to call a friend for a play date. That's my trigger to access the phone number. Carryout menus. My trigger is a growling stomach and I don't want to cook. Sports schedules. My trigger is, Mom, what team are we playing today? I have already entered the soccer dates and times on the family calendar, so if we need to see the schedule, it's just to find out more information about the particular game that we're playing that week. Medical reference info. My trigger is someone is sick or the mystery rash on my hand returns, so I look in the binder to see what we discovered last time I had the mystery rash on my hand. Business cards. The external trigger could be something like the toilet breaks and we need to call the plumber. Now, actually, I would just call Jay, but if the neighbor's toilet broke, I'd tell them about the great plumber who did the plumbing when we finished our basement. School and teacher information. Now, here's an external trigger, and that is my daughter wants me to come have lunch with her, and I need to remember what time her lunch is so that I can plan my schedule accordingly. So to effectively use a quick reference system, you need to create two habits. The first habit is to clean out your binder of outdated papers as you put new papers into the system. And that's pretty easy to do. You'll see things that you just know aren't in date anymore, or you'll be putting in the newer version of the school lunch menu or the new season sports schedule, that sort of thing. And the other habit is to always make sure that there's an external trigger in place that will cause you to access the paper inside. You don't want your binder to become a black hole, but if you're using strictly reference items, then you're safe because reference items have that external trigger built into them. Take action. So using the examples above, identify the new habits that you'll need to create to effectively use your quick reference system. Okay, let's switch gears now and talk about recipes and set up a recipe binder. Now, this section will help you if you love to collect recipes, but they're currently adding to your paper clutter. Recipes you receive from family or friends or that you clip from magazines are reference items. You refer to them while putting together your shopping list and while cooking. These items can be stored in a small recipe card box, file folders, or an accordion file. But my favorite storage solution for recipes is a customized recipe binder. To create this binder, follow these steps. Step 2, select your storage solutions. Now, your recipe binder will be stored and used in your kitchen, and if your kitchen is anything like mine, it gets a bit messy from time to time. Now, because of this, I like to use a wipeable vinyl binder for my recipes and store recipes in full page as well as divided sheet protectors. Now, also consider using a binder with a pocket inside or add some plastic pockets for stashing recipes that you want to try. Why spend a lot of time finding a permanent home for these recipes until you know for sure that they're keepers? So take action. Select your storage solution. Again, you can use storage solutions other than a binder for organizing your recipes, but a binder allows you to easily add recipes of any size and shape, from full-size printouts from the web to traditional 3x5 recipe cards. Plus, when you use sheet protectors in a vinyl binder, you have a spill-friendly recipe storage solution. Step 3, develop your organizing scheme. Now, before dismantling your current recipe organizing system, decide how to categorize your recipes. Traditionally, cookbooks are sorted by main ingredients, such as beef, chicken, fish, pork, vegetarian, etc. Or they may be categorized by course, like appetizers, beverages, breakfast, lunch, dinner, dessert, or side dishes. Now, depending on your recipe collection and cooking habits, you may prefer to sort by occasion, cuisines, or cooking method. The key is to use a sorting scheme that makes sense to you and how you plan your meals. Now, if you aren't sure, visit a recipe website like myrecipes.com and look at the categories that they use, or pull out one of your favorite cookbooks for category ideas. Take action. Develop your organizing scheme and set up your recipe binder. Once you have your binder and other supplies purchased and you've decided on an organizing scheme, all that's left to do is set up your binder. Sort your recipes into piles and use post-it notes to designate your categories. As you go through your recipes, remember your friend the recycle bin. He's always there to help you. Use it for recipes that no longer fit your eating habits, cooking style, lifestyle, or time constraints. Focus on keeping recipes that you're likely to make. Now, when I browse through cookie magazines, I have to confess that I tend to overkeep. I pull out recipes for things that I'd love to eat, but would never have the time or notion to actually cook. Now, if you cook with five ingredients, collect five ingredient recipes, and forego those five course in the kitchen all day recipe options. No matter how delicious they look, you're not going to take the time to cook them if that's not your habit that you're in and that's not your cooking style. So instead of collecting all those recipes, treat yourself out to dinner instead when you're dying for a five course meal. Now, assembling your recipe binder is a snap. Simply slide your recipes into sheet protectors, divided or full page, and organize them behind your binder tabs. Stash recipes to try in a pocket folder behind the appropriate category. With a recipe binder, you don't have to spend loads of time recopying your recipes onto a matching set of recipe cards or typing them onto the computer, which is one of the things I love about this solution. And as an added bonus, handwritten recipe cards add a bit of charm to your binder. Now, while it takes a bit of time and effort to set this up, you will be happy to have your own customized cookbook full of recipes you and your family love to cook and love to eat. Step 4, identify the habits needed to use the system effectively. As you use your recipe binder, look for ways to maintain as you go, as you do with your other organizing systems. Pay attention to which recipes you never use and simply pull them out of your binder and make space for something that appeals to you more. Add notes to your recipes when you substitute ingredients and the dish turns out even better, or add notes to indicate which recipe your family particularly enjoys. Also, if you tend to over-collect recipes, pace yourself. Stop collecting recipes for a while until you get your recipe binder set up and simply enjoy the fruits of your organizing labor. Take action. Identify the new habits needed to use and maintain your binder. Okay. Now that you've got your recipes all organized, let's talk about setting up a receipts file. Step 2, select your storage solutions. Now, as discussed in Lesson 3, for some people, receipts are action items. You may use them to reconcile your accounts or to do budgeting. Once that task is performed, however, your receipts can become reference items. Therefore, we need to establish a place for them. As with our other organizing systems, you'll want to consider location. Where is the best place to store your receipts? This is a form of paper that comes into your home regularly, so ease of access is an important consideration. With your location in mind, go through the list of storage characteristics to identify your ideal storage container. Here are some options to consider. File folders and a file cabinet, or file folders in a file basket. You could incorporate a file or a series of file folders into your quick reference system, or receipts you'll be holding onto for a while could be stored in a file cabinet in a more out-of-the-way location in your home. Plastic shoebox. Believe it or not, I store my receipts in a plastic shoebox, unsorted and uncategorized. And yet, anytime I need a receipt for returns, I know exactly where to find it. The best part about this system for me is that it's really simple to file away, and I put that in quotes, my receipts. So I do it consistently and quickly. I save time and there's no receipt clutter in my midst. That's my kind of organizing system. Accordion file. An accordion file can work well for receipts because it can be closed securely to keep receipts in place, and it allows you to subcategorize your receipts in a manner that makes sense to you. Okay, take action. Select your storage solutions. Use one of the ideas presented here or run through the storage selection criteria presented in Lesson 3. Then let's move on and figure out a categorization system for your receipts. Step 3, develop your organizing scheme. Organizing schemes for receipts. Depending on what a receipt is for, it can be an archive item, a reference item, an action item, or something to be recycled. Not to worry, we're going to sort this all out right now. Now, receipts for major purchases. There are two types of major purchases, those with warranty implications, such as your new washer and dryer, and those with tax implications, such as home improvement purchases. Consider creating a category called Receipts Major Purchases to store all receipts that have warranty implications. You may also wish to create categories for purchases that may have future tax implications, such as receipts, home improvements. Receipts, tax deductible items. Throughout the year, collect receipts for tax deductible purchases and charitable donations. My recommendation is to create a file folder called Tax Receipts, followed by the year. Keep this handy by storing it as part of your action file or in an easy-to-access area in your reference system. Receipts with possible returns. If it's possible that you will return an item, hold on to the receipt for as long as the store's return policy permits. Most stores accept returns for 90 days or less, so these receipts should go in your reference system. Receipts can be stored in file folders, a pocket in your reference binder, or even a plastic shoebox, as I do. A general rule of thumb is to hold onto this type of receipt for a year, so you could consider storing this type of item in a monthly file folder with paid bills. Before adding items to the file folder, empty and shred the prior year's bills and receipts. Receipts for discretionary purchases. Now, receipts for items such as groceries and other non-tax items and low-ticket items can be pitched right away, as soon as any budgeting and reconciling actions have been addressed. Remember to shred any receipt with personal or account information before pitching it. Take action. Develop your organizing scheme for receipts using categories that make sense to you. Step 4. Identify the habits needed to use the system effectively. Now, once you have homes established for your receipts, using the system effectively requires emptying your purse and shopping bags regularly and putting the receipts where they belong. Every day, put any new receipts into your collection container and decide which category the receipt falls in. Then, put it where it belongs. Take action. Identify the new habits needed for your systems. The last reference item I'd like to mention specifically is magazines, one of my favorite types of paper. Now, magazines that you already have read but want to hold on for future reference are part of your reference system. So what we're going to talk about is setting up an ideas and inspiration system. Now, with magazines, it's important to set limits. If you're not careful, if you love magazines like I do, they can begin to take over. And suddenly, the very thing that you're collecting to inspire you instead begins to overwhelm you. Regardless of the type of magazines you collect, the important thing is to have a filter, some criteria to guide your decision-making about which magazines or individual articles to keep and which to pass along to someone else. So to create a general filter, ask yourself this question: would I look through my stacks of magazines to get my hands on this information again? Or would I look at the information on the internet? If you head straight to Google every time you have a dilemma to solve or are in need of some inspiration, you don't likely need to have a reference library full of periodicals at home too. The bottom line is this: keep what you will use and ditch the rest. Step 2, select your storage solutions. As with your other organizing systems, start by considering where you want to store your magazines and clippings. Where will it be convenient to refer to these items again? Then define the desired characteristics of your storage solution. Here are some options to consider: accordion file or file folders in a file cabinet or basket. Either of these systems can be used to organize magazine clippings by category. Binders. Binders take a bit more time to set up than simply stashing your clippings in an accordion file or file folder, but the end result is a custom-built magazine, filled with inspiring photos and ideas that you'd like to refer to in the future. If you enjoy perusing through magazines, this can be an effective option for articles and ideas you'd like to hold on to for future reference. Magazine boxes. Now, magazine boxes are great for complete magazines you're keeping to refer to later, as well as for individual clippings. Boxes help establish a limit for your magazine collection, which makes it a lot easier to keep your collection in check. So take action now and select your storage solutions for your inspiration and idea reference system. Step 3, develop your organizing scheme. Collect ideas and inspiration with a specific purpose in mind, then categorize based on your intended use. Ask these questions while going through your clippings one at a time. What type of idea is this? What will you use it for? How will you search for this? What projects are you currently working on or planning to start? Take action. Develop your organizing scheme for ideas and inspiration by going through your clippings and asking those 4 questions that we just went over. Step 4, identify the habits needed to use the system effectively. Set limits. Too much inspiration can be extremely uninspiring. Instead of inspiring you, your magazines and articles and clippings start to overwhelm you. So set a limit in terms of the number of ideas and types of ideas that you collect. Weed as you go. As you bring new ideas into your system, purge old ones that are no longer of interest to you. Tune in to how you feel. If your magazines and clippings overwhelm you, you have too many. And I've been there, so I know how you feel. But it's time to let some go if they're overwhelming you. I promise you will feel better once you let some of them go. Take action. Identify the new habits that you need for your ideas and inspiration system. The takeaway. So in this lesson, our focus has been on reference paper, those items that don't have a current action associated with them, but which you may want or need to refer to again in the near term. As you go forward and take action on the concepts from this lesson, pay particular attention to the concept of a reference binder. This is one really powerful tool in the battle against paper clutter. I think if you put one together, you'll really love it. So what's coming up next? Well, the next lesson you'll put together is your final set of paper systems, which are your archive systems. In the meantime, keep taking action and setting up your action and reference systems. Until next time, happy organizing.